Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of MLB DFS Today by Sports Ethos. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I am joined, as I am every wonderful Saturday here. I love drinking a little beer here with my guy, Tim Morse, and discussing some baseball, some MLB action. Tim Morse, our expert for the MLB DFS division. How are you, Tim? Looks like we got a four-game slate. How are you feeling about this one, man?
I'm doing well. I'm feeling pretty good about this slate in particular. There's a few reasons why I like this one over the other Sunday smaller slates, and I guess we'll get into it.
Yeah, one of the biggest things I think I can tell you guys out there if you play DFS on the regular is picking your contests is half the battle, sometimes even more than half the battle. So I love that Tim, you know, looked at these slates and really picks out the ones that you feel confident about. I think that's a really smart way to go about things, and everyone out there should be doing that. If there are slates that you feel like you know a little bit more than others, go for those. So let's get right into it, though, man. Let's talk about this. So first game we have here, and this is the afternoon slate, four-game slate. For me, it's a 3:07 start time, but it's going to start with the Miami Marlins and the Los Angeles Angels. So talk to me, man. Looks like for this game we've got Angels are favored by 1.5 runs, obviously. Looks like we have a game total here, a run total of 8.5. So talk to me, man. Who do you like here on DFS?
Well, one of the players that I'm probably going to start is the pitcher for the Marlins, Yuri Perez, who's their top prospect. He's pitched 3 games so far since his call-up. He's sitting at 7,300 on DraftKings. He just turned 20 last month. He's 6'8". He's a fireballer, fastball pitcher. His first 2 games went well. His last game was his first road start, which was in Coors, where he did not do as well. But like I said, first road start in Coors. Maybe throw that one out because, you know, we know how it can be there. So yeah. I'm probably going to start him. The Angels are not that convincing of a lineup right now. I mean, besides Trout and Ohtani, who sit at about $6,000, the next most expensive Angel is Hunter Renfro, who's at like $4,000. So that tells you the depth or lack of depth there.
It's always confusing to me as like an outsider. I mean, obviously, I watch some baseball, play some DFS for baseball, but as kind of an outsider, it's always confusing to me. Like, this team has Ohtani and Mike Trout, and still they can't manage to win baseball games. I don't understand. Is it just the lack of depth, or like what's going on there?
It is lack of depth. I mean, they've had some really bad injury luck. I live in Southern California, so I watch a lot of their games, especially since Ohtani came. I mean, I watch as much Ohtani as I can.
Right.
Especially if he leaves Southern California, I want to watch him while I can. Yeah. They've had bad injury luck. They've had really terrible starting pitching. The ownership group doesn't really like to spend money. And I think that is kind of the crux of the issue.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Gotcha. Well, so we're going Yuri. I like that call there with Yuri Perez, obviously. Guy had a rough outing there in his first outing in Coors, so hopefully have some low ownership. Who else you got here in this game? Batters or I need a side, I guess.
Yeah, well, one guy I'm definitely going to play is Jorge Soler. He's going against a lefty in Patrick Sandoval for the Angels, and he absolutely destroys left-handed pitchers. He's only faced a left-handed pitcher 43 times, but he's got 9 home runs in those 43 at-bats. He's got a .395 batting average. 17 hits. In the last 2 weeks, he's got 7 homers with 13 RBIs, and he scored 13 runs. He's moved his way up to second in the league with 16 home runs right now, just behind Pete Alonso, who hit his 20th on Saturday. But so I'm going to start Soler going against a lefty. That's just kind of a must play for me.
I like it, man. And, you know, obviously we don't want to play a ton of people on the Angels, but do you ever do that where you play a batter that's going against your starting pitcher? Because obviously your starting pitcher has to come out at some point, and they'll go against a bullpen. So if there's a weak bullpen maybe on the team that they're playing against, would that be a strategy you would pursue?
Yeah, I mean, I don't love doing it. There's kind of very little margin for error there because you're just like you're hoping the starter does well. I mean, most of the time your starter's going to give up a few hits, a few runs. I mean, we can live with that. But I don't love doing it. The only reason I would play some of the Angels guys is for value. Maybe Mickey Moniak, who's a former number one pick. They don't play him all the time. They kind of platoon him, but he's gotten a hit in 8 of the 10 games he's played.
Yeah.
Since he was called up. So I might play him or Zach Neto for value, but, and Eury Pérez is not like a top pitcher that is going to, you know, throw a no-hitter. You know he's going to have some mistakes in there. And if anyone's going to pounce on them, it's going to be like Trout or Otani. But
yeah,
I guess Trout would be the one of those two that I would play, but I don't love doing it.
No, fair enough. And yeah, we don't want to fade our own players, obviously. Right. So let's move on to the next game here. We've got the Houston Astros at the Oakland Athletics. The Athletics, I keep backing because I've got this baseball system that keeps telling me to back them, and they keep losing. They're just terrible. So I probably need to stop doing that. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about them here. Trying to pull up my lines. I apologize. Should have had this ready. So we got them. Obviously, the Astros are favored. It's always 1.5 runs. The Astros are favored here. The money line, we're just going to talk about the money line. Money line's at -250. And we also have the same run total in this one, 8.5 as the first game there. So, all right, man, what do you like here for DFS purposes?
Well, I am probably going chalk with Christian Javier for the Astros as my number one pitcher. And I'll probably play Perez as my number two. But I just can't allow someone else to have Javier and he gets like 30 points, then we're kind of on the outside looking in. Yeah. So I think in this scenario, the chalk is kind of a must play for me because the A's are just so bad. They've lost 10 in a row. Yeah. In those 10 games, they haven't scored more than 3 runs in any of them. So they just are providing no resistance at all. Hunter Brown in a game like 2 games ago had 35 points for the Astros against the A's. Castillo also had 30-plus points. So if Javier is in a situation where he gets 30-plus points and I don't have him, then I'm not going to win. So yeah, that's part of the reason why I'm going to go with him. But Oakland, just so bad.
They're just not very good.
Historically bad. Historically
yeah,
bad.
That's true, yeah. I know everyone wants them to sell the team. I know that. So I'm looking at his game log, though, for Javier. It's 22.8, 33.1, 23.1, 22.5. Those are the last 4 games in fantasy points. So, yeah, that's tough to fade that. I think he's going to be highly owned.
Yeah.
But obviously, I think, like you said, it's kind of hard to fade chalk here, especially with the match, given the matchup here.
Yes.
So, all right. Anyone else you're looking at on the Houston Astros? I assume you're fading the Athletics again entirely, correct?
Yeah, there's no one really on the A's that I feel comfortable playing. On the Astros side, you have Jordan Alvarez, who's the most expensive outfielder in the slate at 6,300. Mm-hmm. I probably won't play him because there are other outfielders in the slate that I prefer who are cheaper, Soler being one of them, a couple of Mariners that I prefer. In terms of Altuve or Bregman being the other Astros that I'd consider, both are Altuve's 5,100, Bregman's 5,200. Altuve was sick, came back, has played 2 games since and gotten 2 hits in each of those 2 games. So I'm comfortable playing him, but I might go Bregman over him just because I can find better value at the second base spot. And Bregman at the third base spot is it's a little harder to find value there.
Yeah. Important to note if you know you're new to MLB DFS is that there's a lot more positions there. You're a little bit more limited there. Obviously, there are guys that play multiple positions, but that's not common necessarily. So I think that's a very good tack to use is kind of an opportunity cost take of it. You know, if I play this third baseman, I can't play that third baseman, that kind of thing. You know, if you find value at the second base spot, even if you're really in love with the second base player, you might not want to play them because you might want to go with that value instead. So solid game plan there. Any other Astros you're looking at here?
Not really. They're very top heavy. Yeah. So those are really the only three guys I might play. I mean, yeah, Tucker is a little bit cheaper in the outfield, but like I said, there are other guys in the outfield spot that I would rather play.
Well, let's get to those guys. If you guys are listening out there, by the way, go to sportsethos.com, sign up for our DFS pass. You can get Tim's stuff for free, but eventually it will move behind that paywall. So you want to go ahead and sign up now. We've also got the NFL content coming soon. If you guys don't know, we are getting fantasy football up and running at that site as well. I know I had somebody reach out to me on Twitter after my last call out. So I'm going to continue to do this. If you guys want to contribute, just reach out to me on Twitter at ethoskeith. Let me know what you want to do. We would absolutely love to have you contribute with our NFL draft guide that we're going to have popping here very shortly. So, all right, man. So third game here we're talking about. It is the 3:10 start for me. This is all Central Time, but Pittsburgh Pirates at the Seattle Mariners. Looks like we've got a money line here of -145 in favor of the Mariners. So they're favored there. And then we have a run total right now of 8 runs for this game. So Luis Ortiz on the mound against Marco Gonzalez. Obviously, we're not playing either of those guys, but what are the batters you like here?
Yeah, I'm not convinced by either of those pitchers. For the batters, Julio Rodriguez is starting to feel it. He's 5,400, so he's one of the guys that I would prefer to play over Jordan. He's $1,000 cheaper, and he's had multi-hit games in 5 out of his last 6. He doesn't need homers to score points. He's got 12 doubles already this year. He had 25 in all of last year, so he's already at half of his double total. He's starting to get hot, and so I want to play him versus this Pirates team who has really struggled since the beginning of the year. Since in May, they've scored the second least amount of runs in the majors. They only have 67 runs in May. For comparison, the Rangers have 149, so they have like 100 less runs than the highest scoring team, the Pirates have been really inconsistent. They won the first game of this series, but I don't know. I'm not comfortable playing any of them.
Good for my Cubbies that the Pirates are struggling, but my Cubs are at the bottom of the division anyways, so who cares about that? But anyways, no, that's good. I like that. Anyone else that we're targeting here?
Yeah, for value, I like Jose Caballero. He's at 3,000. They've been kind of platooning him, but he played on Saturday versus a right-handed pitcher, so they might start him again. If he is starting, he's worth a play at that price. He's young, he's fast, he's a good defender, and he's hit a few home runs, so I like him at that $3,000 price point. I also like Ty France at $4,000. He's got 14 or more fantasy points in 4 out of his last 5 games. He took a scary hit to the head on Friday, but on Saturday he hit 2 doubles, so he seems to be okay. And he's hot, so. And 4,000 is a great price for somebody that's scoring double-digit points.
Like, it just shook off a shot to the head. Quick story. My dad used to play softball when I was a kid. I used to go all the time. I watched this guy chase a fly ball all the way to the fence, leaped on the fence. The fence had one of those tops that didn't have, like, the covering on it yet. It was just like a chain link, and, yeah, ripped up the side of his face. That was terrible.
Oh, man.
So just a little fun little story for you guys out there. But looks like so. Sounds like
dangerous game.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it can be. So it sounds like we're stacking some Mariners here against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So you're really not believing in that pitcher over there on the Pirates, correct?
No. Yeah. And the Mariners are hot. They're at home. Mm. I like the Mariners a lot here.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. All right, let's move on here to the last game on our slate. It is the Boston Red Sox at the Arizona Diamondbacks. And we have, looks like the Diamondbacks are slightly favored here, -115 in the money line for them. It's -105 for the Boston Red Sox, so pretty split here. We also have a run total of 9 for this game, which is a little higher than the other one. So more interested in this game here, Tim, or how are you feeling, man?
Well, this is probably the hardest game to get a read on just because these two teams have been so inconsistent of late. I mean, they're pitching as well as they're hitting. The Diamondbacks lost the first two to the Red Sox at home. I think they're probably going to avoid the sweep here. So at -115, I actually don't think that's a bad price for the home Diamondbacks. Yeah. The guy going for the Diamondbacks, Merrill Kelly, has been pretty solid. 5 wins with sub-3 ERA. Rafael Devers is out for the Red Sox, or he was at least out on Saturday. Besides him, there's really no other big bats on Boston. So, I mean, if you don't feel comfortable about starting a rookie in Yuri Perez, you could start Merrill Kelly, I think, comfortably. And yeah, without Devers, Boston's just not really that threatening of a lineup.
Fair enough. All right, man. So who are we stacking here? What are we playing on the
hitter? Well, I think there are only a few guys worth playing from this game. Okay. Maybe Kike Hernandez for 3,300. Just decent value. He's playing against former NL West team. Came from the Dodgers, so he knows about playing in Arizona. He homered the other day. Like I said, they're not really getting offense from very many places. I mean, they have Yoshida and Turner. That's about it. I mean, Kike, I'll probably play him just because it's a good price, and they're going to have to get some offense from somewhere. On the Arizona side, Lourdes Gurriel is a good value at 4,300. I'm surprised he's priced this low, to be honest. He had a 14-game hit streak coming into Saturday. Didn't get a hit, but before that, he was on fire. He had 8 extra base hits over the last 2 weeks. But there's offensively, these teams are cold. The Diamondbacks are cold. Christian Walker is pretty cold. Ketel Marte hit a home run, but besides that, they're just too inconsistent for me to feel comfortable playing any of these batters. So those are the only two guys I would really target from this game.
Fair enough. Okay, so question for you, Tim. I'm looking at this, kind of been putting people into the lineup as you've been talking there and just kind of looking at what I got left over.
Sure.
I kind of have to get rid of one. So we've got some expensive guys here. Obviously, you know, Javier, the pitcher, at 10-1. We've got, you know, Soler at 5-5-5. Rodriguez at 5-4. So I kind of have to cut one of these expensive guys, 5-2 for Bregman. I kind of have to cut one of these guys here to, you know, make some more salary so I can get another decent guy in my lineup here. Out of those four guys, who do you think I should cut?
I would probably cut Bregman. Mm-hmm. And you can find cheaper. You can go with a Cabrian Hayes if you really, you know, are struggling to fill that spot. You can find value at like the first base spot. So don't feel like you have to play somebody expensive there. Yuli Gurriel, I would recommend there. He's got multi-hit games in like 5 out of his last 6 contests. Let's see, Julio Soler. Yeah. I would cut Bregman just because he's outside of, he's kind of inconsistent. He'll have a good game here and a bad game there. Mm-hmm. So, I would cut Bregman out of the guys that you listed. Julio, Julio and Jorge Soler must plays for me.
Okay, fair enough. So those are your must plays out there. Yeah. And then Bregman, you can kind of cut if you get rid of the same situation I ran into. So I love it, Tim, man. That's great. Thank you for that advice. I think those are all solid plays, obviously. With baseball, you never do know. Obviously, one thing you guys have to do is keep on top of the latest news. This is kind of more of a primer than a final product because we are doing it the night before. And obviously, lineup changes do happen before those first pitches happen. So make sure you're checking in. Make sure you're checking into the Discord. It is a free Discord. You can join for free. You can speak with Tim for free in our Sports Ethos Discord. So just go ahead and hit up me or Tim on Twitter, and we can go ahead and get you access to that. But until next time, guys, I am Keith. You can find me on Twitter at @ethoskeith. And Tim, where can the good people find you, my man?
You can find me on Twitter at @metimsim. Feel free to ask me any questions. I'm always open to answer. I'll give out plays throughout the week. Like Keith said earlier, you can catch my delivery on Friday, Sunday, and Tuesday on Sports Ethos. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, man. So obviously more than just the podcast here, if you guys want to get those other plays, you need to go follow Tim on Twitter. So please go do that. Until next time, guys, hey, go get that money.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.